This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Let's just see. So today is an atypical Thursday. It's been a atypical week because we've had George Ruggiero in here as opposed to Jeffrey Wright, who still made his regular appearances in the afternoon. So if you want your Jeffrey Wright fix, you can listen to his show, Jeffrey Wright and Company, every single day. But we do not have him. And today is Thursday. And this is a bad day not to have Jeffrey Wright, because we typically would have Writer Than Wright trivia. And in the course of that, we would hope it would be entertaining. We would hope we would give out a fabulous prize to someone and increase happiness that way. And we thought we would fundamentally, we would underscore the importance of integrity, because some contests out there require you to actually win to get the fabulous prize. We have always, pretty quickly into this, when we realized what a juggernaut Jeffrey was, we shifted the rules. And we said you simply had to play with integrity and therefore set really an example for the rest of the community. Sadly, we don't have any of that today. Sadly, integrity may go right down in the old toilet for the next week in this community because we don't have any of that. We do, however, and this is the good news or the bad news, depending on how you feel about our man in Washington, D.C., we do have a special bonus edition. It's Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Thursday. George, do you know why it's called Fish on Friday, on Tuesday?
I don't.
You don't. There are things that are, it is funny, when you join a show in progress, there are things that...
The only thing I can think of, at least for me...
Yeah, what would be your supposition?
Is that during Lent... Catholics eat fish on Friday.
Well, that's sort of, yes,
is that
true.
Related?
Yeah, okay, but that's sort of. And then why is it fish on Friday on Tuesday?
Well, because he used to do it on Friday, and
then
you're
and
like,
then we
you have to move it to Tuesday.
Yeah, that you pretty much nailed it. Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it. The when you join a show in progress, generally there are things like people occasionally will ask me, what's going on in that introduction? You ain't writing it like that. Like you ain't getting no interview. And why the hell would they know about a locker room rant that Jeffrey normally corrects me, to Jason Williams unleashed on me after the third Grizzlies playoff sweep in the early iteration of the Grizzlies. That was a hell of a long time ago. And why would anyone know about that? And I have said many a time that I was wrong in that interaction, and that the column that prompted the rant was it's really kind of irresponsible, and one I regret. But nevertheless, I'm amused by the sound, and so we still play it. But people are, what the hell is happening there? Who's that woman saying, I hear that sometimes. Who's that woman saying, because it's such a high-pitched voice, you may not know it's Jason Williams. So that's one thing people occasionally need to explain. The Fish on Friday on Tuesday was because, yes, We never had Fishman on because why would we? He knows nothing about sports, and this is a sports talk show. It makes no sense. So even though I talk to him all the time off the air, I would never have Charles. I never thought to invite Charles. Like, I have an excuse to invite my brother Tim, who knows something about sports, more than Charles, for example. But he's a business school professor at Northwestern. Why would I have him on? Well, I get excuse once a year to have him on because he can talk about Super Bowl advertising because he's the world's leading expert in Super Bowl advertising. I once had my brother Steve on because he's an antitrust professor, and I forgot what the antitrust issue was that prompted me to have him on, but I had him on. So I look for excuses to have my friends and family on, but I can never find one to have Fishman on until COVID hit. And then we had no sports to talk about. So then he became a, you know, 2 or 3 day a week guest. And then after COVID, the crisis elapsed and sports resumed. Then, yes, Fish on Friday made sense because people eat fish on Friday. So if you're going to do fish on one day, let's come up with a snappy name and call it Fish on Friday. That seemed good.
Makes total sense.
But Fridays were busy because particularly during the football season, you got a lot of football to talk about. And we honestly, I feel a little queasy talking about interest rates on a sports talk show anyway. But on Friday during football season, it seemed particularly like you're missing the moment. So we moved him to Friday, Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Today, though, it's a special edition, Fish on Friday on Tuesday, on Thursday, filling in for Righter Than Right Trivia. And just to tease it, one of the topics that he's going to tackle, one of the favorites that we have in the fast food category, is a new fast food product from McDonald's coming out. A new fast food. Are you the kind of person who, when a new fast food product comes out, you want to try it? Are you intrigued by the, what the hell was the chicken sandwich that had no bread? Did you ever have that one?
No.
It was just 2 chicken fillets as the bread.
Oh, was that,
I think that was a McDonald's. Was that a McDonald's product?
I thought that was KFC.
It was a KFC, I think it was a KFC product. Yeah, I never ate that.
I'm not a, like, on the whole, I'm not a big fast food person in general.
You're better than the rest
of us. I try.
You're better than the rest of us. You're certainly better than Jeffrey.
But
yes,
when something new like that, that like if it's particularly intriguing, like the specialty meals at
you're not going to go out and get the Doritos footlong nacho thing
probably,
we talked about.
There
was
not
a topic. I wouldn't get to sports internet. There was a topic I wanted to ask you about.
Yes,
because I know you're from Mississippi. You live on that side of the border.
Yes.
How long is the commute, by the way?
For me, typically, like if I'm just doing
what
my
part
normal
of Mississippi are you in?
South Haven. So
you're
it's
in South Haven.
Right,
it's right
I'm
there.
Not 5 minutes from the state line. Typically, like if it's in the afternoon where I'm just tackling
Getting here in the morning.
It's about 25 minutes. Yeah.
25 minutes. Is crossing the border a big deal?
No.
You don't need a visa or any kind of documentation. No. You just go sailing right across. I was going to ask you, because I know you live in Mississippi, that Raising Cane's
yes
is opening, and this was in the Daily Memphian the other day, there, and the first one that's going to open in the area is on Goodman Road. And so, have you had Raising Cane's, and are you going to go out of your way? Probably not early, because there will be lines. That's how the way it
absolutely
works.
Absolutely not.
Are you going to go out of your way to go at some point to Raising Cane's, or have you eaten Raising Cane's?
I've had Cane's before. The closest one, funny enough, the closest one to us right now is actually in the Pavilion, the basketball stadium in Oxford.
They don't have an Abner's.
Not anymore. The Abner's actually closed on University.
Is there no Abner's in Oxford?
Mm-mm. Both of them closed. Remember, they had the one on Jackson.
So I think of Abner's as a Mississippi. Was it an Oxford thing originally?
I don't know if it was an Oxford thing.
The idea that it's not in Oxford seems astonishing to me. There's no Abner's in Oxford.
Not that I know.
Google where Abner's began. And I'm sorry, some of you probably know this off the top of your head. If I put in front of you chicken strips from a whole different array of chicken outlets, could you identify them?
Probably not.
You could, if I gave you a Raising Cane's one and an Abner's one, could you tell me which is which?
Probably.
You could.
I think so. Jeffrey, if it's just between those two.
Jeffrey could 100%. He can nail them all. Like, he is a absolute chicken finger savant, I'd say.
So I'm not sure exactly where Abner started. I'm on their website now, but there are 3 locations left. You have one in Brandon, Mississippi,
uh-huh.
the one in Crosstown,
uh-huh.
and the one in East Memphis.
The one right here. Yeah.
Yeah, on
Poplar. That's it.
That's it.
Huh. So you've had Raising Cane's.
Good? I have. It's good. I like it.
People like the sauce.
The sauce is very good.
Yeah, people like the sauce. All right. Anyway. Okay. So that's the lineup today. We got Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. I suspect Chris is going to be, don't know this for certain, maybe he drove yesterday. He's heading back to the Twin Cities. He lives. He leads a split life now, and I suspect he is heading back to the Twin Cities. Speaking of the Twin Cities, how about them T-Wolves as they bounce the Lakers 103-96? So this inspired a couple things. Well, first of all, in terms of the game itself, and you'll hear this talked about everywhere, no great mystery. Rudy Gobert, the Lakers did not start a center. The Lakers really, after the Mark Williams trade fell through, don't really have much of a center. And so they also don't have much of a bench. And so they're trying to win games. They got Luka, they got LeBron. They don't have much of a bench, and they don't have a center. And so Rudy Gobert goes for 27 and 24. Rudy Gobert goes for 27 and 24. By the way, he had not, up until last night, he had a total of 14 points and 25 rebounds in the series, but goes for 27 and 24 last night. The bench outscored the Lakers bench 22-4. And this is how the Timberwolves can have a night where Anthony Edwards goes 0-11 from three and where the team goes 7-47 from three. And they still lose. So I think I join many of you in being absolutely thrilled that the Lakers have been bounced. And now you look ahead, and there's all the drama about, is there drama? I don't know. LeBron said he hasn't thought about next year. Do you believe he's thought about next year?
Oh, he's thought about next year.
Of course he's thought about next year. Of course he's thought about next year. Do you have any doubt that he will play next year?
I am in the camp that he's probably going to play. I don't think he does not seem the type.
Of course he's
going to
play.
To retire just out of the blue without getting his retirement.
The only thing I only interesting so that some have suggested that he's certainly playing next year. But yeah. Some would say yeah, what he's going to do is he's going to announce it's his last year and that way he gets the Mike Krzyzewski retirement tour,
yeah.
Right? My only quibble about that is that he would like the attention of the retirement tour, but he also likes the attention that comes with the indecision and the ability to keep, like, he loves that. He loves,
people
like,
people guessing.
Keep all options open, create maximum drama about will he or won't he, and all of that. If you tell people this is the end, it kind of forecloses that. They're both acts of ego, and my God, he should have a big ego. I would too. I do, and I'm not LeBron James, so mine's a little more fragile, I suspect. But
we did talk about getting not so nice emails.
Yeah, right. So I think if the argument is that he wants the drama and the attention and whatever, I think it cuts both ways. I think he's got to announce that he's doing it so he gets the full deal, or. So maybe the way to do it is that, and it's also, I suspect if you're LeBron, you do wonder how long you can keep playing at this level. Like, he's still an astoundingly great basketball player. And maybe why do you announce that you're done until you actually see evidence that you're done? So it's possible to me that you can imagine that he could come back for next year. And then if things are going badly with the team or with him physically or whatever else, he can announce with 2 months left in the season that he's done and there still get the grand goodbye, but he gets to play it out a little longer until it's obvious to everyone, him included. The other aspect of this, of course, is that his son, Bronny, is under contract for 2 more years. Well, plus then the Lakers have a team option after that. But So does he want to play both years? Like, and by the way, does it seem like LeBron would be a guy who wants to stop playing basketball? He doesn't seem like a guy to me who wants to stop playing basketball and get on to other things. I just don't. So I suspect he'll be back. The other sort of roster, major roster thing that's up in the air, there's a lot up in the air for the Lakers because they have to figure out how to put the pieces around LeBron and Luka to win games. But Luka can be offered a four-year, $297 million deal this summer by the Lakers, which is disappointing if you're Luka, given what he could have been offered by the Mavs. But there you go. And it did occur to me that the one way Dallas fans could be happy again is if things go south and he comes back. Like, beyond beyond a blowout injury to Luka or the Dallas winning a champ, which no one wish, truly no one would wish for, or Dallas winning a championship with some without Luka, I don't know how they get over it unless he becomes a free agent someday. Nico's been fired and he goes back. I would enjoy that a lot.
That'd be awesome.
But if it doesn't seem like he would want to leave LA at this point. And if you listen to his comments about JJ Redick, he just raved about him. I think he is a hell of a coach, and he said it made him feel like he was back in Europe playing for JJ Redick. That sounds like a guy who's probably going to sign the deal. Now, you can say why did – if I were a Lakers fan, I would not quibble. Like, one of my truisms is that when a team loses in the playoffs, the fan base hates that team for at least a week, unless you're the plucky, you know, underdog like the Pistons. I also think this is kind of an exception. I think you could hate a lot of things about this team if you're the Lakers, but given that you lucked into getting Luka just out of the blue, which no one could possibly imagine, given your next 10 years now looks to be filled with glory again, they'll figure out how to put pieces around him. I don't think you're spending a lot of time hating your team. You're just grateful that somehow out of the blue you got Luka. And the fact that they couldn't on the fly, also, they got a superstar. If they couldn't on the fly also put the pieces around him, to me, who cares? Like,
and again, like with J.J. Redick, we're talking first-time head coach.
He was good. Success.
He was successful.
Successful.
I mean,
great year for the Lakers. I mean, literally, what franchise, all things considered, what franchises in the NBA had a better year than the Lakers? I'd say OKC had a better year.
Cleveland.
But let's be honest. If OKC loses in the next round, or if Cleveland loses in the next round, will you have said they had better years? No. No.
No, because the expectations have been raised.
Because they will not have, yeah. I think the only way, every team except for the two teams that are in the finals will have had worse years than the Lakers, including the Pistons had a great year, though. Pistons have had a great year. I might put it up with the Lakers.
The Pistons went from the worst in the league to like a six.
And now this is fun.
So impressive.
Now what's happening now is fun.
It's house money.
And they're giving the Knicks everything they could possibly want. So yes, we'll see what the Lakers are able to put around those two. But obviously, a great year for the Lakers. But and then with the Rockets and the Warriors, that was over early. It was 54-24, I think, at one point, and the Warriors just pulled the plug. And then it just came down to what it always does. It is a scrappy series.
Yeah,
our man Pat Spencer, brother of Cam Spencer, headbutted Sengun and was tossed. And then after the game, you had this is going to shock you as well, some whining from the Warriors.
Oh, I saw this.
About the idea that they are, that the Rockets are going after Steph's thumb. That's the accusation. You'll be also shocked to hear that it was Dylan in particular and then there's been some debate about this. Once someone releases a shot, you can hit them. Like,
yeah.
You can't hit them such that you'll get a flagrant, right? You can't, but if you make contact with their thumb after they've released the shot,
no penalty.
There's no penalty, there's no foul, there's nothing. And so Kerr did talk about this, and it is an interesting nuance. So the rule is once the shot has been released, you're allowed to hit a guy's arm, Kerr said. And so what's happened in the league this year is players are, you know, they're going to outsmart the rules. They know what they're doing. So players all over the league are just taking shots at guys' shooting hands after the release because they know it's not going to be a foul. And I'm very confident the next year the league will fix it because it's only a matter of time before someone breaks a thumb or breaks a hand or puts out an eye. I added that. Or whatever. But these are the rules. So there you go. That one now goes back to a game six at Golden State. Here's my question, and then I have a couple things about the Grizzlies I wanted to say. My question is this. As a city, who are we rooting for? I've spent most of I've spent most of this playoff rooting against teams. That's sort of where I am in my rooting life right now. I root against the Lakers. I root against the Warriors.
Yeah.
I kind of root against the Celtics just because I always root against the good teams at this point. I like bad teams better than good teams. So who are we rooting? Let's narrow it down to who would be the candidates for the official, unofficial team of the Jeff Calkins show, given that the Grizzlies are out of it. I think a pretty obvious argument can be made for the Pistons.
Yes.
Right?
The connection with JB.
Right. It's a with connection with JB, with Jalen Duren.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a city that's been down, that's been kicked around. It's a blue collar town. They don't bluff it's got a lot of the stuff, and they're going up against New York and the bright lights and everything. I think the Pistons. Is there someone else? Like, if you, whatever you thought about the Pacers after Halliburton's dad did whatever he did, we have enough struggles with T's dad, with Ja's dad. We don't need to add another dad on our official team. So I don't hate the Pacers, but I can't be adding another.
We don't need wild, more drama.
I can't
we
have.
Don't
need I more cannot drama. Be adding another dad. I have to worry about. I already got one dad. I got to worry about. I can't worry about another one. And how about the Cavs?
I like the Cavaliers this year, but they also are the team that just fired J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah, but I've seen...
How strong is that connection still?
I've seen J.B. get wronged before by the Grizzlies, for example, who trotted him out for the postgame presser and then fired his ass. It seemed to me like this is an upgrade, and then he fell into the Detroit deal, and that's another blue-collar town. It looks a lot like the Grizzlies. It's a team that people wondered, should they break it up, just like they're wondering with the Grizzlies. Instead, what they did was they got a new coach, and here they are, maybe seeing Cleveland wins. Listen, you can get behind Detroit all you want.
Sure.
But in the end, you know it's futile. So what's the point of picking a team that's not going to really do anything as the official, unofficial team of the Jeff Calkins show?
That's a good point.
So I think Cleveland.
But we did also talk about we like to root for the underdogs. Cleveland seems like a front runner.
No. The opposite. They're the perfect kind of front. They're the perfect kind of great team. They're a great team that can call itself an underdog. That can, because they're from Cleveland, for God's sake.
Oh, I meant Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Yes. Detroit is definitely an underdog.
Yes.
But we get to pick our teams here. Like you can pick a good one. Like, you can pick one and get a little of the underdog mentality along the way. Okay.
I think you get that with Cleveland, sure.
I think you do. I
agree.
So, those are any other candidates? Nothing else in the East.
No, nothing else in the East, really. Orlando might have come up just because they're that
quibble. I've got a quibble with Orlando that we're going to get to in a moment.
Plus, they've already lost.
Plus, of course, they've already lost. I'm not picking a dead team as the exactly right. So,
I don't think anyone in the West really
inspires
me. Does it you?
The real problem in the West is I want them all to lose. That's the real problem in the West. So let me just go through it.
Yeah.
If you're looking at Houston and Golden State.
I don't like either of them.
Who the hell is there to root? But beyond, and I'd say you root for the earthquake, except for the fact that things have happened. Earthquakes during sporting events, it's probably too soon.
Very dangerous. Yeah.
But it's not the Warriors.
No.
But it's not Houston either, right? It's not, honestly, of the two, it's Houston, because at least they're not the Warriors. But no, it's not Houston.
That's like two bad things, and you have to, you know, take
so,
the lesser.
Yeah. So, the Clippers, I just have never, ever since the only thing I like about the Clippers is that they're not the Lakers, and in that city, they are so second fiddle.
They're like the Nets.
That I can relate to that. Like, I can relate to the being ignored. No one, like, and when you go there and go to a Clippers game as opposed to a Lakers game, I kind of relate to the fan base. They're not glitzy, you know. They're it's a much more blue collar fan base, and so whatever. But I can't get behind that team. Given the history with the Grizzlies, and Kawhi is awesome, but I don't think he's particularly warm and fuzzy and likable. Do you?
No.
And James Harden, there's no way I'm rooting for James Harden.
No, that's,
so
that's true.
You can root for Tyronn Lue if you like. He's you can admire him, but anyway. Course, so there's no one course. In that. I think it comes down to. I don't hate Denver.
I don't hate Denver.
And I kind of like Minnesota.
We're completely out on OKC.
Oh my God, no!
Here's my thing with OKC is. The more they win, and if they continue to
that.
Dominate,
make us look better. Make it,
does
it look
make
better
us
relatively.
Look less bad.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, but that's not.
But that doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies.
It's not something that I can really.
It's like rooting for the Terminator.
I can root for. I can't really root for it. I have a little worry about that, though. I have a little worry, and Chris brought this up, that when you saw, and people laughed at Ja for saying the I figured him out thing, but it did feel a little bit like the Grizzlies had kind of figured something out anyway. Mm-hmm. And you saw some limitations. And so if their defense isn't, Shea wasn't great against the Grizzlies. And then if their defense isn't creating all those easy buckets, it's a little bit more of a, I worry that they're not going to blow everybody out. And it's just the opposite. We're going to say, oh, maybe they're not the Death Star that we thought they were. But that's not a reason for me to root for them. I can't root for Oklahoma City. That's been sort of the equivalent, our twin. It's been our rich twin.
Yeah.
It's been our rich, good-looking twin all along. I can't root for my rich-looking, good-looking twin that's outstripped me, so there's no way. But really, what is there to hate about Minnesota? And honestly, here's the other thing. Yes, there's a rivalry, sort of, but we won. We beat them this year. We beat them in the playoffs. The only thing I don't like about Minnesota is the people who on Twitter keep telling me that Minnesota's outstripped the Grizzlies, which very clearly in the playoffs they have. They did last year when the Grizzlies had fallen apart, and they are doing it again this year. But I'll push back. I still say they are in the same tier as the Grizzlies. They finished one game differently in the regular season. One game. But how do you not like Ant? And then I like Rudy Gobert because everybody hates Rudy Gobert.
I don't dislike Rudy Gobert. There are other
everybody
players.
Hates him so much that I
with Minnesota as well. Mike Conley is there.
Mike Conley's there.
We do love Mike Conley. I'm a big fan of a guy like DiVincenzo. He's fun. Yeah. I mean, obviously fitting.
And honestly, he was discarded by the Knicks, so he's got a little. He's
chip
got a little of that like Zebo was discarded, kind of knocked around a little bit.
Ant is, like you said, Ant is very fun. I mean, he plays with a ton of energy.
Okay, so.
I don't hate Minnesota.
We have an official Western team, and that's Minnesota. And we have an official Eastern team. And although I want Detroit to win, and I love the Detroit story, I'm going to take the opportunity to get on an awesome team and still be kind of an underdog and say that Cleveland. And so I'm looking for, and plus I would just love it if the NBA had to endure NBA quote unquote TV and yeah. People talk about a Cleveland Minnesota series. Wouldn't that be just the best? If they had to make do and you'd get people like that would be tremendous.
Which would be worse for them? Cleveland Minnesota or Cleveland OKC? Neither Cleveland, are great
well,
huge markets.
OKC, you got the MVP and the presumably best team.
True, true.
Minnesota, you have a more compelling star. And that, by the way, another topic that we may get to it in at some point that I'm not going to get into today because I have some other things I want to talk about. If I gave you the choice of Luka,
mm-hmm.
Ant, or Shea, to build your expansion franchise around. You just get to start your team with one of these players.
Yeah.
Luka, Ant, or Shea. Wemby's sort of a different category. By the way, would you take Wemby over all three of those?
But now he has, I don't want to say injury concerns, but he's had injuries, health concerns. But he is the biggest freak out of those four.
And he seems like the highest.
He's also like 21.
Of the ceilings, right. He's the longest runway. But let's just put him to the side and take the three players who are sort of, you know, like each other a little bit in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Luka, Ant, or Shea. Rank them.
Rank them.
Who do you want on your team? Everything, including personality, you know, charisma, style of play, and of course results. All of it.
I'm going Luka 1.
Luka 1.
Luka 1.
Not Ant 1.
Not Ant 1. I mean, keep in mind they're all similar age. We're talking that all three of those guys are 23 to 25.
I don't know if you heard, Luka's fat.
Oh, it sure didn't seem like it once he got to LA.
No.
That one for me, that difference isn't so much the attitude or the personality.
Okay. Are you taking Ant over Shea? Shea over Ant?
I'm probably taking Ant over Shea. SGA is awesome, and he does so many good things, but how much of that is just him being awesome versus look at the rest of that roster and team around him? That has to have some level of support, no?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We have a lot more to talk about. I have something I want to say about the Grizzlies, and we'll get into that a little bit. But then there's other news as well. It's Jeff Calkin Show on a Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're looking for a new financial institution, Leaders Credit Union, that's the one there's a reason I point you that way, because I pointed Claire that way, and she pointed her son that way, and we're thrilled. Leaders Credit Union, where they explained to me, we're a credit union. We don't have stockholders. We don't need to generate a profit. We just, every dollar we generate, we put right back into better service, better technology, better rates, and that sort of explains it. They also have, by the way, because you're like, might be worried. How about, I need ATMs everywhere. Although, does anyone use really ATMs? Do you use cash? Do you ever use cash anymore, George?
I do.
You do?
Sometimes.
I find I don't use cash nearly as much as I used to. When I was playing for babysitters and stuff, I would then, but even then, now it's all Venmo. But if you need access to cash, they have 85,000, access to 85,000 agreements with ATMs across the country. So you get your cash with no charge. It's Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. All right, a couple other things I wanted to get to on the Grizzlies, and then I wanted to get to some other things. Before we have, by the way, Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, special edition of Fish on Friday. He said he has a whole lot to talk about, including a new product at McDonald's. So, hey, if anything's going to get you to stay tuned, it's a new product coming out at McDonald's. So, it is interesting. We were talking about, would you rather have Luka, Ant, or Shea? And of course, we don't include in that list Ja.
Mm-hmm.
And once upon a time, 3 years ago, as people were listing off promising young players, they would have been, right? 100%. You would have included Ja on that kind of a list. If that listed people are doing, theoretically, what young superstar would you like? You would have included Ja on that list. Now, he's included in other sorts of off-season conversations. And I only know this because I saw Anthony Sains, so give credit to him, retweeted this. This is a CBS basketball show where they're looking at perfect landing spots. That this is now where Ja is talked about. Perfect landing spots for Ja. I'll tell you a perfect landing spot. FedEx Forum. That would be my perfect landing spot. But here you go. Here is the discussion about Ja and a perfect landing spot. So what's irritating about that? Did you find that irritating, George? I found it to be irritating.
We might be going the same way, because the thing that I found most irritating was the post that Sane made. Not the post itself, but what he said.
Well, yeah.
Are we just assuming that Ja is worth peanuts now?
Well, so there's a couple things I find. First of all, I find the entire discussion about extracting superstar talent from small market teams to be the default of what you do, I find that to be irritating. Anytime there's a bump, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's a bump for Luka in LA, you won't be. No one's going to be saying, "How the hell did we get him to Memphis or Orlando or anywhere else?" Right? There's this obsession with extracting players from small market teams. But then the other way the discussion works is they just say, "Oh, you know how we could inject offense and sprightliness into this franchise? Just take this star and put him on." And you know, I'll tell you, what would help the Grizzlies? If you could just take Franz Wagner and put him on the Grizzlies.
Wouldn't that be great?
Whoa!
We fixed it.
I just did a hell of a thing, ladies. I'm going to do a segment. I'm going to take Franz Wagner and I'm just going to take him and I'm not going to send you anything back, because the idea that Ja needs to go to Orlando because he have players around. He has around him here. He's got Jaren. He's got Ja has never had to do anything. The truth of the matter is, the complaint early on in the season was that Ja was not being relied enough to do what he could do. I think we need to get him out of a system where he has to do it. He doesn't have to do everything. You know one thing he has to do? Play. He has to play. He has to play and be healthy. He has to do that part of everything. But it has actually never been. This is not a situation like Anthony Davis in New Orleans, where there were never pieces around him. And so, yes, if you take the best piece off the Grizzlies and put him on a team that has honestly not been as good as the Grizzlies, that will make that team better. That will 100%. That would make that team better if you take that player and put him on that team. But just comparing these two teams, for example, who do you suppose won more games, Grizzlies this year or Magic this year?
Since I know the answer, I'm going to go with the Grizzlies this year.
Seven more, I think. Wasn't it seven more? Yes.
It was more than it was a handful more, for sure.
Who played in the tougher conference?
The Grizzlies.
Yeah. Who won the season series? The Grizzlies.
Was it the Grizzlies?
Yes, it was the Grizzlies. How about taking the team, one of the best players off the team that is worse and put them on the team that is better, rather than take a team of the player that's better and make... And this way, listen, I could excuse this if it were some Homer Orlando station, but you're telling me this was a national show, right? It was a CBS national show. It wasn't CBS Orlando.
This is posted on just CBS Sports now, YouTube account. And mind you, they did talk about other players. They talked about Giannis, Kevin Durant.
Yes.
And others, but Ja's the only one on there that, you know, isn't... Some disgruntled star.
It is funny how it works. Though Giannis, the Milwaukee, it goes to my point. Giannis may now leave Milwaukee, and it probably really makes sense both for Giannis and Milwaukee, as we discussed, because Milwaukee doesn't have any flexibility otherwise to get better. But people have been trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee since he first became good in Milwaukee. Not when he first got there, because they didn't know he was going to be good. But once they knew he was good, then they've been trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. And you know what? He stayed and he won a championship. And so, he didn't. He didn't need to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. Now it may be time to get Giannis out of Milwaukee. Obviously, the Durant thing, that's not an effort to extract a team from a superstar from a small market team, because that's just different. It's much more complicated than that. It has to do with the dysfunction down there and the fact that they don't have any ability to get better either. The Grizzlies actually do, compared to those places, have more of a future. It is not Ja in Memphis. And the future of the Grizzlies is not remotely equivalent to the grim future that Giannis has in Milwaukee or that KD has in Phoenix. So they're very different. Now, to the other point is, and this point that Anthony raised, is that people assume that you can just lift the player off and plunk them on that team and give up nothing in return. Now, what it is interesting. I mean, you'd think it would have to start. First of all, by the way, I don't rule out the idea of Ja. If Ja was to demand a trade, and I literally identify the place where he wanted to go, it might well be Orlando. Like, it's kind of would be a, I can see it, right? It's warm. It's a nice place for stars to be. It seems like a lot of them want to live in Florida and want to live in Orlando. There's no state income tax. Just like here, there's no state income tax. There's not the pressure of New York or something, right? But there's still, they have some tradition of being pretty good. And his agent's Mike Miller. Mike Miller played for Orlando. Like I can see it. I can see why people actually look at Orlando. If you were going to do that, you'd think it would have to start with Jalen Suggs. But here's the only thing that does worry me a little bit. I mean, worries me just generally. Is he going to wake up tomorrow and want one out or whatever at some point? You say you don't have to. It's unreasonable. Like, in the end, you'd want Franz Wagner right back in that deal, wouldn't you? Like, as part of that deal, wouldn't you? But here's the thing. You look at what the Spurs had to give up for De'Aaron Fox, and they didn't have to give up. Even Stephon Castle didn't have to be part of that deal.
No.
You know, it was kind of pieces, right? So it is not always true that if you give up a superstar,
you receive one.
That you get, or anything, even a star back, yep. Right? So it is a little, I mean, what I resent is more just the, look, we have to, I resent more the, we have to get him out of here and put him here, when the team that you're putting him on is literally a worse team in an easier conference, right? I resent that whole obsession. I'm not sure we can do this without giving up much in return except for picks and maybe Anthony Black or something, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that's not accurate. Like, I don't know how that would play out. So much of this is leverage, right? Sure. So much of this is leverage. But hell, do you think Dallas got what they should have gotten for Luka? Nobody does, right? Now, there you did
well, get, I was going to say, there's
you get
more
a star
of a...
back. There you did get a star back.
True.
But, anyway.
I went back and looked at the De'Aaron Fox trade. The other part of this is the fact that it's a three-team trade and they're, you know, big pieces going back and forth and forth. I mean, okay. Sacramento got a ton of draft capital in it.
They got draft capital. Yes.
We're talking three firsts, three seconds, and Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine, is that an asset or is that a debit? Like, is that you have Zach, you have to pay Zach LaVine. 2 years left, $50 million each or something?
Think so, yeah.
Off the top of my head, whatever.
That sounds about right.
Like he yes. And then, but you look at what you have to give. You have to give up five firsts now for a decent small forward. Three firsts isn't all that much, really, in this world. And if it also depends whose first they are. I don't think
one
they were all
San
Antonio's first. One of them was a good first. Yeah,
it's a Charlotte.
Yeah, one of them was a good first. So anyway. Okay. In other news, we'll talk more NBA with Chris Harrington at the top of the hour. But in other news, are you bored with the Bill Belichick story? I'm a little bored with the Bill Belichick story because who the hell cares, right?
Yeah.
I'm interested to know how it's going to go at North Carolina, and I'm not rooting against him. Again, it's one of these deals where now everyone thinks it's going to be a disaster, so I kind of don't want it to be a disaster, and I don't have anything against the University of North Carolina except for my kid went to Duke, but that's mostly the basketball team, not the football team.
Sure.
So, but he came out in that CBS interview, came out and said that they, unfortunately, that they had expectations that it would just be about his book. And the Belichick statement was, unfortunately, that expectation was not honored during that interview, because they asked about when he met his girlfriend, right? And CBS then fires back, and they say, when we agreed to speak with Mr. Belichick, it was for a wide-ranging interview. There were no preconditions or limitations to this conversation. This was confirmed repeatedly with his publisher before the interview took place and after it was completed. So there you go. Who do you believe there?
Based on how the interview was then reported about, I'm led to believe CBS more than I am.
I think I believe CBS. It's possible that they each believe their own version of it. You know, like,
is this a tell your story type
situation?
Yeah,
it could be. There you go. Bringing in Jeffrey, is otherwise absent. This could be tell your story. It could be that they each believed that they had agreed to something to something else. The real interesting thing is that I actually, this is what is the one of the problems. This is all rooted in the fact that they're 50 years apart in age,
mm-hmm.
because, and that it's his girlfriend. If this was a PR professional, a regular old PR professional who had been standing there as he did the interview, people wouldn't have been like, oh, the whole time he did the interview, she was standing there. Like, that's what PR professionals do. They accompany their people that they represent to interviews, and they stand there. That happens to me. I interviewed Rick Shadyac before he left as the CEO at LSAC, and the PR professional was there, and that was nothing odd or abnormal about it. And and then when the interview goes off track, at least according to the PR professional, it's kind of their job to say, hey, we're not talking about that. That's not what was part of the interview. That's part of their job. It's only because it's his girlfriend that's 50 years younger. Is it 50? I don't know the age.
It's just about, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why it's problematic, is that having her in that role
is that
is
not itself a conflict of interest?
Makes you look like that conflict of interest. You know what it is? It's if your job is to look your best and to get the best PR, literally having her there guarantees the opposite.
Yes.
So it's not a conflict of interest. It's just stupid and ineffective, because having her there, you're trying to generate good PR. Having her involved in it, by definition, because of the age gap, will create the opposite, is guaranteed to create bad PR. So that's the strategic mistake there. I did want to get your insight, though, on one more thing. Elijah Moore is a wide receiver, most famous for pissing in the end zone, right? Don't you say most famous?
The old piss and miss.
The old pretending to urinate when he celebrated a touchdown against Mississippi State. But had a really good year at Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Was then drafted by the Jets. You're a Jets fan.
Still hurts.
And I when he was drafted, I'm like, damn, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. I thought he was great with Ole Miss. He then moves on to the Browns. Was he traded to the Browns?
Yes, he was traded to the Browns.
For what? Why did the Jets move on from him? Because Aaron Rodgers didn't want him?
He got traded before Aaron Rodgers got there. It was,
but it was that offseason, wasn't it? It was 2 years. He's been a Brown for 2 years. Aaron Rodgers has been there, the Jet, for 2 years. I think that's right. But anyway, so he was with the Browns for a couple of years, and then he was signed by my beloved Buffalo Bills. And this is interesting for a couple of reasons. One is I'm interested in him because he's a receiver in the Buffalo Bills. But Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, just went off on a couple of radio guys in Buffalo who are good, actually. I listen to them all the time, because they were talking about the fact that the Bills had done nothing on wide receiver. And so you could feel however you want about Brandon Bean going off. I think probably there's no point in it. Like, whatever, people on radio, you don't honestly look good going off on sports talk people, because in the end they're just sports talk people, and that's me included. But so who cares what I say? Like, whatever. If you're Brandon Bean, like, what, you know, but I do, I accept his point, which is the Bills literally scored more points, if you count the playoffs, more points than any other team in the league last year. They scored like 30 points every single freaking game down the stretch. They had the MVP. They scored plenty of points. That seems to be the point. It's not whether you have a quote-unquote number one receiver that should matter. It should matter how many points you score. And they scored more points than any other team in the league last year, counting the playoffs. So I sort of get his point. But don't you think he looks a little silly when he says we didn't need wide receivers, and then the next day he goes and signs Elijah Moore?
It's a little goofy.
It's
a little weird.
I thought you didn't need receivers. And then you literally the next day you go sign Elijah Moore. But my question for you is, how good is Elijah Moore? You've now seen, I saw just the Ole Miss one. I really haven't paid much attention to the Jets one or the Browns one. Why would you? Let's be honest.
True.
What do you think?
I think, especially in the system that the Bills run offensively, I think it'll be a pretty good fit. I mean, he did go to the Jets. He was there the 2 years
prior. Isn't he mostly a slot receiver, though? Because Khalil Shakir is the slot receiver.
He he's played both. He's played both inside and outside, but he primarily, just based on his size, is kind of pegged as a slot receiver. He's
undersized. Is he fast enough to take the top off a defense?
I don't know that he's fast enough, but I think he's a good enough route runner to work those double moves.
He's like he's like Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, pretty much. Except
Khalil Shakir is much better after the catch.
Oh, of course.
But he's a really good route runner, getting open.
Good hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in the same mold as Shakir.
All right. We got a good second hour. We don't have Right of the Right trivia, sadly, but we're not leaving you empty-handed. We've got the Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, on Thursday, and coming up next, we got Chris Harrington. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.